Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Welcome to the Labor Day weekend edition of Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, and as we say at the beginning of each program, this is about real conversations on how we live out our faith every day. And for most of us, every day is spent at work. And we're going to talk today about work. What does it take to feel good and to do good in work? Is it more money? We're going to learn today about how to move from just making money to making a difference. My guest, Dean Nowolny, spent more than 20 years in executive roles with three of Wall Street's largest financial firms. Then in 2010, he joined the Halftime Institute, and he now speaks at events around the world, encouraging business leaders to channel first-half achievement into a second-half defined by joy, impact, and balance. And I hope that that is where you want to find yourself, with joy, impact, and balance. Dean Nowolny joining me today. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Neil, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The reason that we're chatting, getting to know you, is because you've just written a new book called Trade Up, and the subtitle is How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And I'm wondering, maybe to start out, Dean, to, you know, your subtitle suggests that, you know, maybe those two are, are they mutually exclusive? I think we tend to think they are.
Well, it's interesting. I actually got a call last week from a gentleman who said, Dean, I disagree with you. It's not a bad thing to make money. And that's surely not what I'm saying there. What I am saying is there's more than just making money to life. And so making money is a great thing. I enjoyed making money. But what I found is that when I focused all my attention on just making money, there was an emptiness. There was just more to life than that. And that's really, you know, Bob Buford, who started Halftime, you know, talks about this season of smoldering discontent. And that's what happened for me. I was so focused on just making money, and I wasn't making much of a difference. And I got to the season of smoldering discontent and just said, Lord, there has to be more to life than this. So the idea of just making money, in my opinion, ultimately will lead to emptiness at some point.
Do you think, Dean, that is sort of inevitable, that, you know, if we're really honest with ourselves, that at some point we are going to get to that place of smoldering discontent if we don't have our values and priorities aligned properly?
Well, I do believe that. I believe that if folks don't take the time and effort to really understand what God's sweet spot is for them, and we call that their Ephesians 2:10 calling, which says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared beforehand. And the way I understand that is that God has gifted us with strengths and talents, abilities and passions. And it's really up to us to take time to really get a clear understanding of what those are. Make eye contact with God, get our assignment from God, and when we have that assignment, we will be living a life of joy, impact, and balance. I think if we don't do that, there is the risk that we'll get to a point, at some point in life, and in for some it's as young as in their 20s now, and we've had people go through the program who are in their 80s, and they just get to this point saying there has to be more to life than this. So, Neil, I do believe that if we focus only on the financial or monetary returns, there will be this emptiness or smoldering discontent season.
You offer early on in the book three questions to consider, and maybe we can just review those as a way of setting up the conversation today.
Sure. The three questions that I share with groups and share through Trade Up is, number one, cost accounting. And cost accounting has to do with what is all your winning costing you? And for me, I started thinking through that in 2006. What is all my winning costing me? it's costing something. It's costing a relationship, maybe with a spouse or with your children. It might be costing you your health. It might be costing you your faith. But focusing only on just making money and winning will cost something. The second question has to do with what do you have that is priceless and what are you doing to protect it? So for me, what was priceless was, number one, my faith, number two, my relationship with my wife, and number three, my relationship with my kids. And when I was so focused on making money and trying to accumulate things, I shoved those three things aside. So even though it was priceless to me, I wasn't doing anything to protect it. And the third question has to do with metrics. If you were living a perfect life 2 years from now, what would that look like? Not what would you be doing, but what would that look like? And for me, it was I'd be strong in my faith. I'd be flourishing in my God-given calling. My wife would be flourishing in her faith and her calling, and my kids would have high self-esteem and a few other things. So those three questions are disruptive questions, but they do get us thinking for sure.
You are a Christian in the midst of this season of discontent. You know, they're probably related, but I'm thinking there's probably many other, you know, believers who are, or maybe we would think, well, once you become a Christian, that your pursuit of money and, you know, things of this world would sort of automatically change. But that didn't necessarily happen for you, did it?
Yeah, it didn't for me. My pursuit of money and material possessions was so ingrained in me that even when I accepted Christ in 1995, I still was focused on all these possessions because I thought that even though I knew that they wouldn't bring me happiness, that my faith in Christ and Christ, God's assignment for the rest of my life is what would really bring me happiness, it's such a hard, it's just so hard to move away from focusing on those material possessions, or it was for me. So it took me about 11 years to really release the grip of things in money and material possessions. So it took me a while, Neil, for sure.
Did this, you know, early on in the book, you share the story of David and Goliath, which really sets up, I think, the book well. The book we're talking about, by the way, is called Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And in that, you suggest that there's three things we need to consider. A cause of a sweet spot and a giant. Say a bit more about that.
Well, yeah, in chapter one of the book, we begin talking about David and Goliath and is there a cause and a sweet spot. And really what that boils down to is what is the cause that you're passionate about? What is your passion? You know, what is your giant, so to speak? And we need to face those things. So, but until we can really understand what we're passionate about, we can't begin to really put a plan together to figure out how we will accomplish it. So what we do at the Halftime Institute is when folks come through, most people come through and say, you know what, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I'm just not passionate about anything. And we always say, well, we know you're passionate about something. So we encourage people to read the USA Today and ask this question: what makes you mad, what makes you sad, or what makes you glad? And when those emotions start to bubble up, that may be the area that you're passionate about. And I remember one example, Neil, we had a gentleman come through and he said, I'm not passionate about anything. And I said, read the USA Today and do exactly what I just mentioned. And at the end of 1 week, he came to me and said, Dean, it absolutely doesn't work. And I said, well, what do you mean it doesn't work? He said, I spent the whole week focusing on the sports section, and that's all I read. I said, exactly. You have a passion around sports. And now he has started an inner city ministry for children. So when we look at our giant, and when we look at you know, what we're passionate about, that's really what that chapter is all about. David was very passionate about what he believed, and we all have passion like that, but it takes time to understand it.
Dean Wolney spent 23 years in executive roles at three of Wall Street's largest financial firms, and that's just half the story. First working alone, and then through the Halftime Institute, he eventually traded his marketplace career for a chance to help more people who, like him, wanted to expand their own first-half success and skills and a purpose for meeting human needs, making a significant difference. We're talking about Trade Up. It's the new book from Dean Wolney. It's called How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. We do have a couple of copies that we're going to give away, and you can sign up for it. We'll do the drawing via email. If you go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, there's an email link there. It gives you your contact information. We'll put you in for the drawing of Trade Up. It's a great resource. And really, at any age or stage of your life, you're going to find it beneficial. We're going to talk more with Dean in just a moment, and we'll get to some of those ways that we can actually understand more about our passions and that there are other things we need to look at, to consider spiritual gifts and what happens if your spouse isn't on your same page. All that's just ahead on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith. My guest today is Dean Wolney. Dean is the CEO of Halftime Institute. But the first half of his career was spent working on Wall Street, or at least in large financial firms. And he was pursuing all the things that you might expect that would go along with that. Even though he was a believer, for a part of that time, it took him a number of years to get to the point, say, this just isn't really adding up. And so he's written about it in his book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And Dean, I want to just get perspective. I mean, there were seasons as you were working in the Wall Street firm in Chicago that, you know, you were giving, thinking, well, that's certainly part of it. You're active in church doing things. Is making your work a ministry, is that enough to move towards significance, or does it have to be sort of abandoning your work?
Well, that's a great question. I just want to revert back to a Gallup poll, which I think will point out how important it is to really find what your purpose is. In the Gallup poll says they asked a number of people about work and significance at work, and only one in five believe that they're doing something that really matters. People are craving purpose and meaning. 80% of folks go to work every day feeling what they're doing has no purpose and meaning. But when folks go through the Halftime Institute program, 60% stay exactly where they're at. If you read Halftime or if you read Trade Up, Bob Buford made the transition from the marketplace to the ministry, and so did I. But that's not the norm. The norm is actually staying right where they're at, identifying how the folks in front of them can become their ministry, their serving opportunity. So when we talk about this idea of going from just making money to making a difference, I think the initial fear is, I got to give up what I love to do. I love my job. I got to give that all up and move to Africa. Well, that does happen from time to time, but you don't have to do that. In many cases, your ministry is right in front of you.
Well, which I know one of the ways that you help us find that is through, I think you call them low-cost probes, which sounds intriguing for those of us that are, you know, don't like the idea of, you know, jumping on ship and heading to Africa maybe right away. Say more about that.
Sure. Low-cost probes are exactly what it says. It says low-cost, and that is as you go through the Halftime Institute process, at the end of that process, you'll have a good understanding of your spiritual gifts, your strengths, your passion. There will be a plan that begins to take shape. But we always encourage folks, whatever you do, don't do a high-cost probe where if you make that transition and it doesn't work, it disrupts everything in your life. So a low-cost probe is really just putting your toe in the water to see if what you think your calling is accurate. And so if you need to leave it, you're not going to cause a major disruption in your own life, but more importantly in your wife and or your spouses and your kids. So a low-cost probe is really trying to get closer to the bullseye by putting your little toe in the water and trying different things.
Well, we should back up, because in that process, you need to do some self-evaluation, don't you? And I know that's something that you ended up doing, and it's a matter of what finding our strengths and our passions. So let's what's some of the first steps?
Yeah, the one thing I always encourage folks is when you begin this process, understand that it does take time. It took me 11 years. Hopefully it won't take others that long, but it took me 11 years. And it's hard work. It's hard work. You really want to take time to do what we call here archaeology. How has God wired you? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? What in the past really makes you come alive and gives you joy? Then we begin to do the Strength Finders exercise, which is part of Trade Up, and if you read the book, it'll show you how to get started with that, along with figuring out your spiritual gifts, along with figuring out your passions. And then what we start to do is put that together, so we begin to put what we call a plan together. We call that construction, and we look at putting a plan together for the next 2 to 3 years of your life so you can fulfill living out your calling in your area of passion. It's important as we go through the year-long process to really start identifying margin around your time, talent, and treasure so you can serve in that area that you're passionate about. We often say, no margin, no mission. So, you know, it's a year-long intensive program that really helps you get clarity. And like I said earlier, make eye contact with God to get your assignment, and then we help you get connected into that.
Well, of course, we've heard the phrase, and Covey maybe introduced it to us first, but the idea about beginning with the end in mind. I mean, that we need to do that always, certainly as believers, but say more about how that can really put us on the right path.
Yeah, beginning with the end in mind is really important, and it's chapter 5 in Trade Up, and I use an example in chapter 5, and it's the 80th birthday party exercise, which was a game changer for me. When I started with the Halftime Institute, the very first exercise we did was the 80th birthday party, and it goes something like this. Your spouse or friend invites you to a restaurant for your 80th birthday celebration, and 100 of your closest friends, family, and business associates are there, and one by one they walk up to the microphone and they answer this question: beyond your marriage, family, and friends, the most significant contribution you made to humanity is. And for me, it was just a very eye-opening exercise, because if that day was my 80th birthday, I really didn't know what folks would say walking up to the microphone. They may say Dean's successful in business and he's made some money and has accumulated some toys. But as far as my impact on humanity or the kingdom or leaving a legacy, I wasn't doing anything to accomplish that. So it was a very eye-opening experience, and usually when we do that exercise, we get a really interesting reaction from the audience, because most people take a step back and say, wow, I don't know what people would say if today was my 80th birthday party and they had to answer that question.
It's always good to do some reflection, and really, as you said, there's a lot of reflection in this. Sometimes I know I've heard Bill Hybels talk about, you know, getting involved and volunteering things that sometimes you just got to jump in the pool. I mean, you may not always hit the bullseye, and I think that's maybe a risk too, is where we become so introspective that we never really take the next step. Say a bit more about that.
Yeah, jumping in the pool makes some sense for sure. You got to move forward to really figure out what the next season of life is for you. But if you do it uneducated, without spending time to really get a clear kind of roadmap, if you will, on what's next, it can oftentimes lead to frustration. And many times folks will come here and just say, I want to just go do something. God is calling me to do something. I'm just going to move forward. And if they don't take the time to really get a clear understanding of what God's sweet spot or calling is, it's very rarely sustainable. Something will happen that will throw you off track, and you'll look back and say, what in the world am I doing this for? But if you're called to that and it makes a lot of sense and you've spent time and God has put it on your heart to do that, it's oftentimes sustainable because you can make it through the highs and lows. I remember when I interviewed for the job to become the CEO of the Halftime Institute, the gentleman who was interviewing me must have asked 10 times, do you feel called to this? And I actually got to the point where I was frustrated and said, I don't have a sign in my front yard that says I'm called to the Halftime Institute, but I think God's calling me to this. And I understand now why he asked me that question so many times. It's because there are challenges, and if you're not called to it, it's easy to fall away and get frustrated.
Which I guess, you know, it'd be interesting your thoughts on this. Is this more kind of an American cultural phenomenon, or maybe it's a baby boomer expectation that sort of our jobs and careers have to be, you know, meaningful? I mean, maybe 100 years ago it was just survive and provide. Does this message apply universally? I mean, is there a biblical basis for what we're talking about today?
Oh, I believe so. I believe there's definitely a biblical basis for it. And I will say that the difference that I've seen over the years is that there used to be this sweet spot, if you will, for halftime, the Halftime Institute, and that was the 45 to 65-year-old who wanted to move from success to significance. And now what we're seeing is that we have millennials and folks in their 80s going through our program. People want to be significant. That God has put that on their hearts. I believe he has put that on all our hearts. I believe Ephesians 2:10 is for everyone. It's not for the wealthy man, woman. It's for everyone. And I think it's our responsibility when you read that verse to really take time to understand what is God's sweet spot for me. And I think what's starting to happen is that the younger generation, older generations, like, I want to leave a legacy. I want to have an impact. And that's all because God put that on their heart. So I do believe it's biblical, and I believe it's the halftime is really a season of life. It's not an age. It's not an age. It's a season of life and can happen at different times for everyone.
Talking with Dean Niewolny about his new book, Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And we do have a couple of copies to give away. You can sign up for it online. Go to myfaithradio.com. And click on the Connecting Faith show page for the email link. Dean is the CEO of Halftime Institute after spending a number of years in the financial markets business world. And we're going to hear more from him about his story and some great advice for us in living out our faith day by day, finding that sweet spot, and trading up. More on that just ahead on Connecting Faith. Talking today with Dean Niewolny. Dean spent 23 years in executive roles with three of Wall Street's largest financial firms, and actually spent time in the upper Midwest. An impactful part of his spiritual journey took place in the Twin Cities at, I think, a men's event or Promise Keepers, maybe it was. Has worked in Madison for a number of years, and is in Texas now as CEO of the Halftime Institute. And hopefully you've read Bob Buford's great book, Halftime. And if not, I'd certainly recommend it to you. And, of course, the other wonderful resources at the Halftime Institute. And we'll have Dean talk a little bit about that as well. But he's told his story in a new book called Trade Up, how to move from just making money to making a difference. And Dean, just maybe before we go on, say a bit about the kinds of resources and maybe where people can find out more about Halftime Institute.
Sure, they can go to the halftimeinstitute.org or halftime.org. And there's a variety of different resources. There's different programs. One's called our Fellows Program, which is a year-long intensive program. The second is Halftime's one-on-one program, which is a year-long coaching program. Besides the many different exercises that we walk people through at the Halftime Institute, we also have halftime certified coaches. It's so critical to have someone who's going to be there to encourage and guide you and hold you accountable. So what I found over the years to be probably the secret sauce of Halftime is really the coaches who have been on that experience. So both programs offer the coaching opportunity. They're just both designed a little bit different to fit different clientele.
Halftimeinstitute.org is the website, and we'll have a link on ours as well. Dean, you mentioned that about, you know, coaching. One of the chapters is called How to Populate Your Life. Do we need more friends, or do we need more friends that can guide us in this specific area?
Well, I don't know if we need more friends. I can always use more friends, but we surely do need folks who can help us. And I talk about in Trade Up, you can't do it alone, and that's the truth. You really, when you look at a Michael Jordan or a Phil Mickelson or name the person, they do have a coach that encourages them and holds them accountable. So the coach, in my opinion, is incredibly important. As we talk about this idea of having a personal board of directors, when you look at any corporation or organization out there, they have a board of directors that holds them accountable to their mission. So what we do is we help individuals start to identify their own personal board of directors. And these are people who are scripturally sound, who have strong relations with you, but also aren't afraid to tell you the truth, even if you may not want to hear it. So a personal board of directors is really critical. And for me personally, I remember as I was going on this journey, I had some opportunities that were presented to me, some very attractive opportunities, and it just so happened that my board of directors would sit down with me and say, Dean, I don't think that's a good fit for you, and here are the reasons why. So as one goes on this journey and they identify their spiritual gifts and their strengths and their passion, they have their coach, they have their spouse, and they have their board of directors that they can bounce things off of and say, is this me? Does this make sense? Am I hearing this correctly? What do you think? So it's really important to have a group around you to help you and guide you.
Dean, in your journey, your process, your 11-year journey, you were a believer, you were engaged in church, you were in doing various projects, but say a bit more about how you learned about spiritual gifts and how you started to see that maybe in terms of your work world. I mean, had you considered spiritual gifts as it related to work before that time?
Yeah, I did not. Neil, I really didn't spend any time understanding myself, and that is one of the challenges that folks have. They don't take time to really know themselves, and it was pretty eye-opening and fascinating to me when I really took time to understand my strengths. And then when I sat down and did the spiritual gifts assessment and realized what my three top gifts, which are wisdom, discernment, and encouragement, and how could I couple my spiritual gifts with my strengths in my area of passion. And I really spent a lot of time with my coach's help getting a clearer understanding of how can I take that and really use it for the greater good of the kingdom. One of the most important things I did during this season was I spent time in solitude. Once you go on this journey that we write about in Trade Up, this journey it's a head journey and it's a heart journey. So it's easy for me in my head as a type A personality to say, well, this is what I want to do, and here's what I think I'm good at, and here's my strengths, and here's my gifts. But the heart journey is critical, and that heart journey is only going to really be satisfied in a time of solitude. So I started to do solitude, which I'd never done before, and it's very challenging at the beginning, or it was for me. But the solitude time was so critical. I used to get up on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 5 a.m., and I'd sit there with a pen and a piece of paper, and I would just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And that's all I would say, and I would just sit there. It's amazing what happens during those quiet times in the solitude time. So for me, it was taking and coupling my passions. It was taking my strengths and gifts and focusing on that area of passion, but it was also spending time in solitude to get my assignment from the Holy Spirit.
During this time, you were involved working in church and various things. You were working with some homeless shelters. You'd taken some trips to Africa. So did you expect that maybe out of those areas where you're already kind of doing some low-cost probes, if you were, that you would find the change coming there?
Yeah, and I was doing low-cost probes during that time, and it's very interesting that a lot of what I thought from a head perspective I wanted to do wasn't really what I was supposed to do. It wasn't really my calling, even though I might have been good at it. For instance, I was part of the Good Sense Ministry, or asked to be part of the Good Sense Ministry, because I was in the financial services world. And I tried that and just realized after a little bit of time that it really wasn't what I was designed to do, or it wasn't my calling, even though I was good at it. So going to Africa and doing the low-cost probes really helped me to say no to things that weren't a fit for me. I remember when I just started the halftime program, I thought, after going to Africa and coming back, that my calling was, with my wife, to do orphanages in South Africa, Haiti, and the DR. And I had a passion for that. And when I started going through the halftime program, I soon realized that that was still a great thing to do, but that wasn't really where God wanted to use my gifts, talents, and abilities. He had other ideas, even though we did do that, but that wasn't truly my calling. So this whole idea of doing low-cost probes is so helpful to say no to things that aren't a fit.
Being willing to say no and being willing to say yes to what God is prompting you to find your passions. We'll have Dean share a bit more about just the passion discovery. Also want to talk about what happens if your spouse isn't on the same page or the same stage in the journey. We'll get to all that and more as we talk with Dean Niewolny, who has written a new book called Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. Dean is CEO of Halftime Institute, and you can find out more about them on their website, halftimeinstitute.org. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Take it all, every hope, every dream, every plan. Take it all, every weight, all the shame and brokenness. Jesus, I surrender.
You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we've connected with Dean Niewolny today. He's CEO of Halftime Institute. Hopefully you've read Bob Buford's book, Halftime, and familiar with that great work. And, you know, Bob's whole passion was about helping us moving from success to significance. And so Dean has written his story called Trade Up. His subtitle is How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And Dean spent 20-plus years in the financial firms making lots of money and pursued all the things that go along with that. And yet he was a Christian most of that time, and through a long journey came to realize that, you know, there was more to life. And Dean, was your, you share some passion discovery stories, and maybe just say a bit more about how, you know, that can change our life and our outlook if we've never really taken the time to pursue that. That can be so eye-opening, can't it?
It really can. The passion, in many cases, people think that I got to do something that's really difficult and challenging. Well, the reality is God puts on our heart passions that bring us joy and excitement. And what we find a lot of times is that folks arrive at the Halftime Institute and they turn their dreamers off. They just forgot, really, what brings them life and what gets them excited. So we have a number of different passion exercises that we do with individuals to really stimulate that area in their mind that brings them joy and happiness. For instance, you know, we have a gentleman who went through our program that has a burning desire to do professional fishing. He's a professional fisherman, so he brings disabled children fishing with him. We have others who are passionate about flying. So we have folks who are involved in angel flight, where they're transporting cancer children and adults from hospital to hospital. We have a gentleman in Cape Town, South Africa, his name's Graham Power, who went through the program and said, I don't really know what I'm passionate about, but realized after a little bit of time that he was passionate about prayer. So he invited about 200 people to pray in 1998. And in 2017, 300 million people are now praying around the world on the Global Day of Prayer because of something he started way back in 1998. And one other story I'll just share with you quickly is Sandy Griffith down in Houston. She didn't really know what she was passionate about, but we went through a number of exercises, and she just realized that I'm really passionate about babies. And I'm really passionate about babies who are born to drug-addicted mothers, that they get the love and care that they need. So she goes down to a hospital in Houston and rocks babies every day and loves on them. That's her calling. That's what she's passionate about. So as we go through different exercises, like the USA Today exercise and others, the dreamer goes back on, and you can begin to identify what you're really passionate and excited about.
And Dean, what happens if your spouse isn't on the same page, maybe the stage in the journey? How do we work through that challenge?
Yeah, if the spouse is not at the same place you're at, stop. That was the advice I was given by Bob Buford, and he was absolutely right. Many times we feel this sense of, I got to just run and do this because God's calling me to do this. And we leave our wife or husband and kids in our wake. And that causes far more damage than needs to be. So what Bob suggested to me in 2008, as I was going through the program, he asked about my wife, Lisa. And I said, Bob, I'm out in front of Lisa here a little bit. She's not quite where I'm at, even though she supported what I was doing. And he said, stop. Spend every day praying for Lisa, and until you're equally yoked, don't move forward. So even though you may feel God calling you to make a move from success to significance, whatever that looks like for you, God's not going to call you to do it, in my opinion, by yourself. Mostly if you're married, you're going to do it as an equally yoked unit where you support each other. So it happens a lot, and it's very difficult to tell type A personalities, hey, you got to slow down and wait for your spouse, but it's critically important.
Well, of course, I mean, the waiting and slowing down, that's, as you said, part of the solitude practice as well. It's allowing God to speak and to really, you know, release those dreams and those passions he's put within inside us in the first place.
Yeah, the solitude time and the personal board of directors, identifying those individuals, were two of the most important exercises that I did as I went through this program, along with being coached, of course. But solitude time just is so enlightening. And when you sit in solitude, and when I sat in solitude, and I was saying, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to go and serve, but Lisa's not with me yet. Speak to me. It was crystal clear that I needed to just pray. And that's what I did. And then ultimately, Lisa's the one who had a dream in 2009 about us moving from Chicago to Dallas, Texas, and me becoming the CEO of Halftime. That's how it happened, or I wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. So prayer is important, and solitude is really important.
It's a great story, and Dean tells it well. You'll appreciate his journey and learn from it. We're talking trade up. How to move from just making money to making a difference. Dean Niewolny is the CEO of the Halftime Institute. Dean, I mean, ultimately we want to finish well. What does that look like for you, and maybe, you know, for us, those that are listening as well?
Yeah, we have, after doing years and years of coaching halftimers, this whole idea of what finishers know, which I share in Trade Up, is really important. We have boiled down tens of thousands of hours of coaching to really five things that finishers know who finish well. Number one, they surround themselves with encouragement, folks who are cheering them on, folks who are, you know, saying, that a boy, that a girl, keep going. That's number one. So encouragement is critically important. Number two is flexibility. As we get older, sometimes we're less flexible. Well, the reality and what we've learned is that the more flexible and the more open you are to change, the better you finish. The third is focusing on your spouse's dreams and calling in front of your own. So when I sit down with Lisa, or when I did sit down with Lisa Hudson, Lisa, what's your Ephesians 2:10 calling? What are your dreams and aspirations as we go forward? So number three, knowing what your spouse's dreams and aspirations and supporting him or her is critically important. Number four is health, taking care of our health. And the last is the obvious, and that is that you're in God's sweet spot, that you're in God's Ephesians 2:10 calling for your life. And so those are the five things, Neil: encouragement, flexibility, spouse, health, and life calling, that we have found to be included in all of those who finish well.
And as you said, even though, you know, you've got years of hard-won wisdom and experience, that this is something that we don't have to wait till we're, you know, 55 to start getting into, and there's a lot of value in that self-assessment and finding our passion early on, too, isn't there?
Oh, there is. There is. And like I said earlier, the millennial age is so laser beam focused on being significant at a young age. They're like this idea of going from success to significance. I don't need that. I'm ready to be successful and significant right now. And I just believe the sooner we make eye contact with God and get in that sweet spot, the more we're going to have joy, impact, and balance in our life.
Dean, thank you for the work you've done in this area and for the work you continue to do, and pray God's blessing as you continue to speak and to travel. And thanks for writing up your story. I'm sure it wasn't always necessarily easy to share those points. In fact, I think you referenced that. You know, you shared part of the story with family and friends, and they realized that, you know, your life wasn't all that that wonderful early on.
Yeah. Early on, my life was messy. There is no doubt about that. Really, until I accepted Jesus Christ in 1995, my life was challenging, and obviously I continued to make mistakes after that, and due to this day, of course. But once I accepted Christ, things did change for me a lot.
You can read Dean's story. He is CEO of Halftime Institute, and he's written about it in a new book called Trade Up: How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And you can find out more about the good work of Halftime Institute and how your second half can be defined by joy, impact, and balance. Dean Niewolny is my guest today. Find out more with the Halftime Institute at their website, halftimeinstitute.org. And Dean, it's been an honor to visit with you today. Thank you for the good work you're doing and for sharing with us.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate you having me on.
It's across the street that there are needs in our community where people just take a step back and say, who is it that has a need that I can meet?
Sometimes we may know what God wants us to do, but we can only think of reasons why we can't do it. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Jim Gash finally realized how his excuses had prevented him from taking part in God's greater plan for his life.
And that was my excuse for the longest time is, I got a wife, I got kids, I got jobs, I got excuses. And it was finally what is more important? What I have for you or what you have for you? And so that was the first barrier to say, okay, Lord, what you have for me is more important. I get that. But it's not just across the world or across the country. It's across the street that there are needs in our community where people just take a step back and say, who is it that has a need that I can meet?
Jim has learned to be flexible in his schedule to help meet needs in his community.
Maybe it's in my spare time on a Saturday. Maybe it's in my evening on a Wednesday, tutoring a kid or mentoring a kid or doing something to reach into my community, as opposed to saying, I've got this schedule, I've got these things. We got to set stuff down, open up our hands a little bit and let God put things in our hands, instead of saying, sorry, Lord, what you've given me has filled my hands. I have nothing else to do. When what's really happened is we've loaded our hands with things that we want to do or the things that we feel like are important to us. We're not willing to empty our hands and say, God, use me.
As we empty our hands that overflow with good activities, God is able to fill our hands with ways in which he wants to use us. For some ideas on meeting the needs of the people around you, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Steve Douglas always has such great insights and brings in unique guests that are making a difference, just using the talents God's given them to reach and touch lives. So hope you appreciated that little Making Your Life Count. And Ted, I sure enjoyed the conversation with Dean Niewolny. Guy's been a Wall Street investment banker, and then there's more to life than just making money.
Yeah, that's right. And out of our insecurity, we go after that, I think, sometimes. Yeah. He had some good words of reminder that, hey, put your trust in the Lord, and the rest really will take care of itself.
Well, if you missed part of the show or want to pass it on to a friend or listen to it again, I just want to encourage you to go to our website, because we post all our interviews on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, and those are all shareable, so these are conversations that you can listen to again and share them with a friend.
You can also access the interviews via the Faith Radio app anywhere you are, if you have some time waiting for a bus or something, or wherever you might be. Yeah. Download the Faith Radio app for free in the iTunes Store or Google Play. You hear us talk about that. Search for Faith Radio Network in either format, Faith Radio Network.
Look for Dean Niewolny. The book is called Trade Up, How to Move from Just Making Money to Making a Difference. And speaking of making a difference, let me just encourage you that your money can make a difference.
That's
here,
right?
Coming up here in just a week, right? Yeah. It's just a week from tomorrow.
Our fall show starts on September 12th, goes through the 14th, three short days where we just appeal to you to support the ministry, the work God is doing through Faith Radio. You could actually get started right now at 877-93-FAITH, press the number 3, or online at myfaithradio.com.
So we're going to give you some opportunities to give. It's however you decide in your heart to give. But I'd like to just encourage you to consider the Team 360 level. That's $30 a month or $360. It's $1 a day. And when you give at that level, we'll send you a sample of Hope Coffee. That's been our ministry partner from Honduras over the past few years. And it's a great way to just get on board at that Team 360 level, or maybe you can go up to $50 a month and be a half-day partner. Consider that as well.
Lots of opportunities. Above all, be praying, if you would, right now as we lead up to Fall Share.
Fall Share starts a week from tomorrow here on Faith Radio, and hope that you'll join us tomorrow. We're going to talk more work in ministry here on Faith Radio on Connecting Faith. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.